It's Thursday, June 30th. This is episode 27 of The Shaunikee, and part 7 of How to Succeed in Evil, entitled The Henchman's Molars. For The Shaunikee, I'm Patrick McLean. Henchmen 11435 and 11291 were concerned. This was not unusual, for being a henchman is a fearful occupation. Would their evil overlord activate the self-destruct mechanism without telling him? Would one of them be used as a guinea pig for a new weapon of fiendish design? And most pathetically of all, was Dr. Loeb going to pay them on time this week? You see, these henchmen, Fred and Sam respectively, knew, like all of Dr. Loeb's henchmen and women, that Dr. Loeb was a horrible supervillain. In fact, he wasn't really a villain at all. Dr. Loeb was a trust fund child with delusions of grandeur who spent his considerable monthly trust disbursement on a secret lair and various nefarious schemes that never, ever paid off. He simply had no concept of money. And when you've never needed money, how can you understand how much a paycheck means? Fred and Sam would have changed jobs, but they were stuck at the bottom of the rotting barrel of evil. This was the best-paying job they could get. Henchman, third class, no benefits. Sure, it wasn't what either of them had dreamed of, but life doesn't always turn out like you hope. Sam was a golf cart repairman, and Fred was in security. Sure, Sam missed the days at the golf course, but when Dr. Evil paid, he paid $2.50 an hour better than any golf course in town. And Fred? He was just sick of working in a supermarket. But you get nothing for free in this world. Sure, they'd gotten a pay raise, but when they grew disgruntled, and who has ever heard of a well-gruntled henchman, and tried to look for other jobs, they found that no one wanted to hire an ex-henchman. It's just like working for the carnival. Once you cross the line, once you go evil or run the tilt-a-whirl, there's no going back. This fact was not mentioned in the interviews. But on this particular day, they were worried because Dr. Loeb had called a general meeting of the entire organization. It had never happened before, and that was reason enough to think that no good would come of it.
"He's probably going to test some kind of knockout gas on us," said Sam.
"I just hope it's not one of them microwave brain rays again. Old Bill never was the same after that."
"Poor Bill.
Lucky bastard, he's dead and free of this place."
It wasn't really a joke. Fred had terrible dental problems that he couldn't afford to fix. He looked forward to the day when death was his getaway driver. The air was thick with dread as they shuffled to the courtyard. The vast, unwashed hench masses in their one-piece, non-breathable jumpsuits, boils were rampant, waited fearfully. But when a figure finally strode out on the specially constructed balcony, it was not Dr. Loeb.
"Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Edwin Windsor, and I have some unfortunate news for you. Your beloved Dr. Loeb has been judged legally insane and unfit for his duties as head of Loeb Enterprises. But fear not, business, such as Dr. Loeb has conceived it, will go on. The board of directors has seen fit to name me as the acting CEO, and I'd like to tell you about some changes we're going to be making around here."
Loeb Enterprises did not have a board of directors as much as it had a board of directrix. Iphigenia Loeb, Dr. Loeb's fantastically wealthy mother, had bankrolled the dubious enterprise. She had always hoped her son would grow up to be a doctor, and she thought that indulging her boy in this ridiculous fantasy world would help him get it out of his system and back to the practice of medicine. But when expense had piled on expense and her patience grew thin, she became open to suggestion. When Edwin had come to her with a simple, profitable plan, one that would turn the weaknesses of Dr. Loeb's wannabe criminal organization into a sound financial concern, she was all too eager to say yes. And in her heart, as all domineering and overprotective mothers, she loved the idea of reasserting control over her son. Edwin talked his way through a quick slideshow that showcased his plan for the site. The vast underground lair was to be converted to mini-storage. The frontage on the main road was to be occupied by a strip mall. Construction to start immediately. When he outlined the new dress code, a cheer went up. Uniforms would no longer be required.
Job retraining, continuing education, and daycare were also crowd pleasers. But as far as Fred was concerned, Edwin saved the best for last.
And finally, I'm instituting a full benefit package. Health, vision, and dental.
Fred drew back his lips in a rictus of extreme joy. Tears streamed past the corners of his mouth. That dark hole that was punctuated by glimpses of frightful orthodontic and periodontic case studies. He realized that his suffering was finally at an end.